Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of No Filter Sports. It is Thursday, July 25th. Date right, give me a break.
And hello
guys.
To you, too.
And Bob Page in New York, Denny McClain across from me here in the plush Red Shovel Studios in the basement of the Drew Lane residence here in lovely Ferndale, Michigan, a great town. And Brandon is off today, but Mark Fellauer is filling in as his as our producer.
Yeah, welcome, and, Mark. Don't screw up.
I'll take all the blame.
He says he doesn't want to add to the show today, but we may call on him for a couple of...
Hey, all the people who write in, a lot of them are transplanted Detroiters. They haven't lived in Michigan for a long time. But since you mentioned beautiful Ferndale, I'm telling all you folks who haven't been to Detroit in a while, it's astounding what they've done with Ferndale. Mm-hmm. It is so cool. So many hip restaurants and music happening. I mean, it's not the Ferndale I grew up with, I'll tell you that much.
No, it's the rainbow version of Ferndale. It is a,
yeah, there's a lot of
very
that too.
Alternative yeah. lifestyle type of place, so yeah. Be prepared for that when you come here. Anyway, we got a lot.
What is that? Some kind of homophobic remark?
No, just yes, it was a not a homophobic. it was in recognition of.
Well, this is the No Filter Show. It's all good,
right? Anyway, so we're going to talk
easy
football. Football opens this week. The Lions actually opened their camp today. Some good football news going on. Some troubling news too, involving Taylor Lewan and Adrian Peterson, etc. But we had a request here. I won't say which member of our team, but we do want to start with the Tigers going out west now. And you know, a baseball season is an ongoing story. Sometimes it's a great story. Sometimes it's a rise to great heights and a championship. And sometimes it's following a very a sad, frustrating, and in this case, even confusing storyline. Like the one this year, the Tigers on this 10-game trip starting with Seattle. By the way, the Mariners are almost as bad as the Tigers. They haven't won back-to-back games in a month. And the last time the Tigers won two in a row was in May. I believe that this stretch, 28 losses in 33 games, may be the worst in their history. They're on a pace now to win 50 games, which means it's 112 loss pace. And it goes on and on. And Jordan Zimmermann, and Denny, help us out here, 0-8. 7.57 ERA, he just has fallen so fast and so hard over the last few years that you wonder if it wasn't for the salary structure, he'd have been out of baseball.
He'd been out of baseball, yeah, I agree with you. But you know what? I think he's hurt. I think he's trying to save his butt. I think he's trying to stay in a uniform with somebody, and I just don't think he's letting the organization know what's wrong with him. Listen, as long as you keep – and I tell you what I see. What I see is that he cannot get the ball where he wants to get the ball. Almost every pitch he throws, whether it's good or bad, is in the middle of the plate. Even if it's a ball, it's in the middle of the plate, up or down. And I'm telling you, you can't pitch that way.
You mean left or right, it's in the middle of the plate.
Because, absolutely.
Because the balls they're hitting out of the yeah. ballpark were on the the inside or outside, but they were mid-level
they're
of
up.
The zone.
Everything's around yeah. the jockstrap. And yeah. any type of baseball that's around the jockstrap is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear you say, Denny, what you just did about him being hurt.
Yeah.
Zimmermann is now, after the 4-0 shutout Wednesday night at home to the Phillies, he's 0-8. 7.57 earned run average. He's utterly humiliating himself every time he goes out to the mound. If you're hurt, why would you continue to humiliate yourself?
I think
he's going to say, get me out of here. I'm hurt and I can't pitch. He's not. And when we're on the subject of Zimmermann humiliating himself, I know he's going to make $25 million next year. But these guys have so many millions, so much money. If I'm Zimmermann, rather than continue to, again, embarrass myself, I'm telling the Tigers, you can take your $25 million bucks and give me a small settlement. I can't
do that.
I can't
do that.
I'm going to be 34 in
Bob, and you wouldn't do it either.
No,
you would not give up any money.
The Players Association would not allow him to do that. Every player in baseball would revile him.
If I had $400 million bucks in the bank and I was humiliating myself with everything that I did, I'd give up $25.
Bob, that's the high road, Bob, but that doesn't exist.
It's nice to say, but you know what? He's a part of the Players Association.
Right.
He's got to live within the agreement, and the agreement says you can't give back the money.
Right.
It's his money,
he
period.
He can retire. Don't be ridiculous. Anybody can retire.
You think he's given up $25
million? Now, time out. He's kind of this year's version of Anibal Sanchez, who in 2017...
Oh, God, don't make me go there.
...was so awful. By the way, in 2017, Sanchez was so bad that we didn't even notice that Zimmerman had a 6.08 ERA year and was 8-13. He actually did win 8 ball games. You feel bad for the guy. By all reports, he's a really, really good guy. Seems to be a really, really good guy. He had a sprained ligament in his right elbow. He started off the season very well. His first two outings were quite good. Then he had this elbow injury and took some time off. So he may be hurt. I don't know. I know that when he was pitching, when he was getting clobbered one night, Jack Morris said, the ball is just spinning. It's not breaking. And then I asked you about the difference between spinning and breaking.
And isn't Sandoval having a pretty good year this year?
Anibal, yes.
Yeah.
Sandoval.
Yeah, you two troglodytes. His name is Anibal. Okay. Anibal Sanchez.
And see, I call him Sandoval. Ridiculous. You know why I call him Sandoval? Because he was such a Sandoval fraud when he was here.
Wait a minute. What's a troglodyte? Don't yes, start doing that again. Right. Don't start with the big word.
I cannot believe you actually graduated from the prestigious University of Michigan. Your lack of vocabulary never fails to astound me. But of course, Danny saw the charts.
I don't show off because people know I went there. You went to State, so therefore you have to show off to say that you really do have some intelligence.
Bob, if we took the word I out of your vocabulary, you'd be totally speechless.
Yeah, well, let's replay some of these shows, pal. We'll see how often you use that word.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Hey, Eli, you started to go where I wanted to go a moment ago.
And pick it up.
That is the record for most losses by a team. You said the Tigers, you figure, are going to lose about 119. Now, I did some research on this.
They're on pace to lose 112. They did lose 119.
I did some research on this, and I immediately thought of your boyhood heroes. The 1962 Mets.
40 and 120.
Yes, I guess there must have been two games that year that were rained out that they didn't bother to make up.
Right.
Okay, but the worst record ever in baseball history, do you know what that is? It's safe. The Tigers got no chance. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders went 20-134. What happened, you ask? Owner Stanley Robson, he also owned the St. Louis Browns with his brother. They'd already decided to merge these two teams at season's end. So Robson publicly announced his intention to run the Cleveland Spiders, quote, as a sideshow. As a result of that, Cleveland's total attendance was 3,179. That's not per game. That's total. They had 199 per game. So here's what happened further. As a result, other National League teams, you call us old school. Now you're going ancient school.
Give me a break.
May I please continue?
Please, quickly.
Other National League teams refused to come to Cleveland because they wouldn't get enough money from ticket revenue to make their expenses. Now, the Cleveland Spiders also had not only Hall of Famers on this team, including Cy Young. Cy Young was in the starting rotation on that team. He went 26-16.
Cy Young was the rotation. He pitched every day.
I'm going to follow up a little bit.
Not with a record like that.
Excuse me.
He didn't. So we
did. Oh, my God. Can we start the show over again, please?
I don't think so.
Bob, stop for a second.
Bob, they started 60 and 70 times during the year then.
Okay. What happened was, as a result of things like this, if I can please segue on, that's why they created the American League in 1901, so teams had to come and play. You couldn't say, no, I don't want to play because I'm not going to make any money. The reason they created the league was that you couldn't just barnstorm and go where you want. Can we please move on another 117 years to where we are today?
We get all these notes from people who say they love these old stories.
But that's not
Every time I bring up anything like this, which is interesting.
No, Bob, that's fine.
I want to talk about the Detroit Tigers today. Oh, that's exciting.
Old stories that may have a name that they're familiar with.
Yeah, okay. like L.K. Line.
Like Cy Young, maybe.
Or Cy Young, you know, or Ty Cobb. Guys like that who we can identify
Speaking
with.
Of old guys, Mossy died at age 90.
Yeah, Don did.
And you actually played with him.
I was with him for about 4 weeks in 1963. Nice man. Never said a word in the clubhouse. He hung around. Listen to this. They had a quinella, and a lot of guys probably not going to hear this, but they hung around together. Frank Larry and Don Mossy.
Mm-hmm.
What a quinella. Because, Larry was crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Frank Larry later became a chief of police in Alabama someplace. Yeah. Can you imagine going to his jail?
I thought, Bob, you saw the headline in the Free Press. that called him, what do they call it, the ugliest tiger?
Detroit News did that as well. That's, they said, the nasty. Ugliest tiger ever. That's out of bounds. You know, we are who we are. We're made the way we're made, and we look the way we look, except some people like Susie Colbert, who, of course, don't like the way they look, so they have a complete facial change next time they suddenly show up on TV. But it is. I thought that was out of bounds. Hey, did you guys know? I bet you did
oh
not.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
That Don Mossie was the last surviving member of that vaunted Cleveland Indians 1954 pitching staff.
Bob Lemon. Let me guess. Bob Lemon. Feller, Mike Garcia.
Feller.
Yeah. Feller was gone by then, wasn't he? Was Feller still
no, Feller.
There?
No, Feller.
Okay,
Feller.
54. And Mike Garcia.
Detroit's own, one of the greatest Tigers ever, and a member of baseball's Hall of Fame.
Not Neuhauser, no.
Yeah, Hal Neuhauser.
Oh, is he? Okay. Got that. Yeah.
Neuhauser was with
Cleveland. And the other guy, Eli, you made a big deal about your interview with him, and it was a great interview, remember, years ago. The other guy, another Hall of Famer, Early Wynn.
Oh, God, Early
so Wynn. They had one, two, three, four Hall of Famers and Garcia in that rotation. They went 110 and 54 in the old days when they didn't play that many games, right? Was it 110 and 54 something like that?
Only a difference of 12 games. That's all.
But they lost the series to the Giants.
And they lost to the New York Giants. That was a series where Willie Mays made
the over-the-shoulder catch. However, because it was captured on film, because the World Series, we've seen many catches since that were even better than that, because every game is televised. I mean, Rupert Jones made two of them in Tiger Stadium one night in about 1984. That was when he played with the Mariners in 79.
Two quick points. One with Frank Larry. When Frank Larry retired, he knew he was getting released by Jim Campbell. And after he got taken out of the game in the fifth or sixth inning, he went into the clubhouse, took a quick shower, grabbed his bags, and walked. The game is going on now. Seventh, eighth inning. He had both bags. This is how crazy Larry was. He had both bags in his arms and walks right across, goes from third base to first base, leaving the ballpark Stadium. Yes, sir.
He was called the Yankee Killer.
Hey, Denny, I always wondered this, because those guys were my heroes when I was a boy growing up.
Sure.
You had not only Larry, but you had Frank Bowling from Alabama on that ball club, the second baseman. Were there any problems with black players on the Tigers back then? I know you weren't there in 61, but did you ever hear about any problems like that?
We had two black players at the time when I got there.
Bubba Morton was one, I think, right?
Oh, good. Ozzie Virgil?
No.
Billy
Bruton. Billy Bruton was one. In fact, Billy Bruton and I hit back-to-back home runs. That's the only home run I ever hit in my life.
Okay.
And then Jake Wood.
Jake Wood was there.
Wood is the guy that was going to teach me how to play poker and took all my meal money every trip.
That's why they getting him the nickname Dolphin.
And that's how I got the nickname Dolphin, because I was the biggest fish they'd ever seen. And by the way, I was playing poker every day on the road. You'll love this. Jake Wood, Billy Bruton, Willie Horton, and Gates Brown. I had no chance.
And you graduated from losing as you bet to becoming the only bookie of all time that never won a bet later on.
A bookie. Will you stop the stories now, all right?
You were
one note about Early Wynn.
Are you going to answer my question?
Yeah, I'm going to. I forget what the question is. But Early Wynn, I saw Early Wynn's 300th win in person. The day before he got his 300th win, I signed my contract with the White Sox. And then they said, we're going to get you tickets to Early Wynn's 300 win. And I went down to ball. It was a day game, last week of the season. Uh-huh. And he says, there you go, big boy.
It took him years to
so
get
Denny,
it.
So, Denny, again,
it took him
I remember in my boyhood when the Tigers got old Bubba Phillips, boy, old Bubba from Mississippi. Yep. I repeat. Were there problems in that locker room between some of the Southern white boys back in the early 60s and some of the black players?
Not to my knowledge. In the minor leagues, there was to some degree. But in the minor leagues, when we went south of the Mason-Dixon line, the black players were let off at rooming houses.
Oh, I know.
The white players went to the Holiday Inn or some other hotel in town. But no, that rubbed most guys the wrong way, except some of the guys from the south.
Yeah. There's some great baseball going on. I do want to talk about the Yankees, the Twins. There's some amazing baseball happened this week. But first, I want to remind you that corrective eye surgery is some of the greatest lifestyle improvements and breakthroughs of this century. LASIK, one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine. It's changed the lives of millions, allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and the poor performance of glasses and contacts. It's true. You're looking through plastic. It gets scratched. You get bad peripheral vision. LASIK is the answer. And custom LASIK that Dr. Yaldo has performed, 30,000 have gotten better than 20/20 vision. It takes only a couple of minutes. It's painless. You get to throw all those contacts and glasses in the garbage. And for those of you 45-plus, multifocal lens implants free you from your hated reading glasses. No more reading glasses, along with precision far vision. Just make the call. You've got nothing to lose. You get a free evaluation. You should get an eye exam every couple of years anyway. Tell them No Filter sent you for an additional discount up to $1,500. Here's the number, 1-800-398-EYES. That's 800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
And now for another Red Shovel Network sponsor, David Hall and Hall Financial. If you are thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you tons of money. You can email David at dhall at hallfg.com or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. That's 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Give David Hall a chance, and get lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. The industry average, by the way, for refis is 44 days. But Mr. Hall and Hall Financial averages only 19 days. Take it from their customers, the satisfied customers. They have over 800 five-star reviews. They will fight for you even if you've had a dent or a major car crash. Email David Hall at dhall at hallfg.com. That's dhall at hallfg.com. Or call 248-308-5000 and tell them Denny, Eli, and Bobby Booby have sent you there to get a new mortgage.
How many variations does he have on that nickname of mine? It's fascinating, isn't it?
By the way, what's fascinating is you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. So the other night, there's some great baseball being played out there. The Yankees have a 10-game lead in the East. So the other night, they played the Twins a 5-hour, 14-12, 10-inning game. It was two nights ago. Oh. Aaron Hicks, two-out, two-run, ninth-inning homer off of Twins closer Taylor Rogers, sent it to extra innings. No, that was at the top of the ninth before the Twins came back. But here's what happened in the 10th inning when Hicks saved this game with bases loaded and two outs.
2-1. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it. 14-12 the final on a sensational leaping, lunging grab.
Is he done now? Is he almost done?
Let me say this. If Mickey Stanley had been in center field, he'd have been underneath the pitch.
He'd been waiting for it.
Yeah, he'd have been waiting for
hardly. So did you see the game the night before that?
I saw the game last night.
The night before that.
That was the 8-6 game where the Twins hit five homers.
Yeah. So I'm watching that at home here in New York, and it starts in the first inning. This is right after I had a conversation with a guy I know about juiced baseballs. And I said, I don't really mind it that much. It's usually just within the context of the game, and it's okay. It's not. The Yankees hit like two home runs right away in the first inning, and the Twins countered with two of their own in the bottom of the first. They hit eight home runs in that game as opposed to six in the game you're talking about. And you know what? I didn't enjoy it. I turned it off. It's too much.
It's not a juice ball. Please, it's not juice ball. Balls can't be thrown at the jock strap all day long. Pitchers are just throwing one pitch after another.
I think they've determined that the seam's a little lower, it's a little smoother, less drag, they said. And it only has to, like I explained, 1% of 400 feet is 4 feet. All you got to do is have it be 2% more, that's 8 feet, and you're going to have a lot of home runs. By the way,
because
last
the ballparks are smaller.
Last night, that would be Wednesday
last
night.
Last night's game.
10-7, yeah. The Yankees win. And this Didi Gregorius, in the last two games, 8 for 10 with 10 RBIs in the two games.
I watched the last four or five innings of that game. I couldn't believe the number of balls that were hit like rockets. Yeah. One after another, and every pitch was down the middle.
Yeah, Denny, I think you were onto something a moment ago when you were talking about the pitchers making bad pitches.
Right.
I went back and did my own instant replay on every one of those home runs that was hit a couple of nights ago in that game. Sabathia was pitching for the Yankees, and some guy didn't know very well pitching for the Twins. And I'll tell you, they made horse spit pitches. That's why these home runs were hit. It was just awful.
It's awful. I'm telling you, I don't know where the philosophy has come that throwing the ball down the middle is good. It is not good. Somebody has to learn how to throw the ball. And, I mean, I've got some things that Kaline said over the years, and I'd like to do two or three of them if I could.
Can I quickly do this, though, before we dismiss the Tigers?
Sure, of course you can.
Because Eli's just going to shout you down anyway when you start the way he shouted me down at the top of the show. So get ready for it, Denny.
On this 10-game road trip, the Tigers may make some trades, so we have our eyes on that. They now do have the worst record in the league. They've fallen behind the Orioles, believe it or not. Gardy, this is his Gardy. I'm starting to feel sorry for Gardy.
I'm not.
He goes, "We go, about the possible trades on this road trip, he goes, we go with the guys we have at the ballpark. Hopefully we'll get back here with all of them. We don't know if that will happen or not." Go ahead with
I'll tell you, we're coming back with fewer players than we're leaving with. Kaline, over the years, has made some pretty good quotes. And here's just a couple of them, and you're going to recognize what they mean in today's game.
Okay.
Here's the first one. What gets me upset about the newer players is their lack of intensity. None. They tend to go through the motions a little bit. They don't understand that you've got to practice every day, every play. How about that? They don't practice anymore.
Well, they do take batting practice.
Batting practice is not practice. I'm talking about the outfield. They don't do outfield practice anymore.
I know.
None of it. I mean, it's you know what? Even the fans loved outfield practice because the guys hitting the fungos were hitting
infield,
them in the
same. Infield practice, because infield practice included outfield practice because then they would have relays and stuff like that. I love watching that. Go ahead.
Why do you think they stopped that?
In the interest of getting the game played on time.
No,
we just get there and get a little earlier. I don't think so. Just get in a little earlier. Why did they stop doing that stuff?
I don't know why.
I think it had something to do with the infield. I don't remember. I remember a story many years ago about the infield, about them going to a new program. Yeah, we should look it up. All of a sudden, I'm in the major leagues and we're traveling from town to town.
This is Kaline again.
This is Kaline.
Kaline number two.
I see the other players dressing differently every day. I've got only one suit and I keep wearing it over and over. I'm so embarrassed.
Poor, he was 18 years old.
Right.
His father guided him to the Tigers because they had the weakest outfield, and he knew he had to sit there for 2 years, and he wanted him to play. His dad made a very smart move because the best, as I said, the best one they had in their system was Bill Tuttle, and he could beat out Bill Tuttle. Okay,
And you've set me up for the best.
Here we go.
Okay. And this, by the way, was a quote apparently from 1953 when Kaline broke in.
That's right.
So, is that what it is, 1953? No, I read my 1899 story.
No.
I didn't have any quotes with it.
1897.
No, this was yesterday.
Go ahead.
One reason outfielders don't have stronger arms, and now he would know about stronger arms, right? Yep. Might be that they don't practice ever. Most teams today don't take outfield practice. Very seldom infield practice. Another reason is baseball is to compete with the other sports now, basketball, football, soccer, for the better athletes that might have some skills in going to other sports. There's some truth there, too.
Now, the other night, I saw this replay of Mike Trout nailing a guy at the plate.
I saw it.
Max Muncy. And this is what's so amazing about analytics and computers and sports now. According to when StatCast began tracking outfield throws in 2015, it's the hardest ball Trout has thrown, 98.6 miles an hour. And I contend, Denny, we all appreciate how hard pitchers throw. I think the least appreciated skill in baseball by fans is how hard all the players throw.
They all do.
When you see a guy off balance throwing from third to first on the line, it's remarkable.
Have you ever seen so many infielders on their knees throw guys out?
That's the Michael Jordan syndrome. You watch guys do it, how they slide, how they dive. Players imitate, and fielders are better now. The good ones are better now.
I believe they are. I believe they get to more balls than they've ever got. But part of the reason why is because of the analytics. They've got guys at the right place. We didn't have as much application like that as they do today. Certainly
That's a good point. And they're also pumping iron all the time. They're a lot bigger. They're a lot stronger. So they're going to throw the ball harder. I would just say this, that the greatest infielder I ever saw in my life.
Brooks Robinson.
It's never going to change. No. Ozzie Smith.
Okay.
Oh, he was a good one, too.
Greatest infielder I ever saw in my life.
He's a terrific guy, by the way.
So now, as you know, a couple weeks ago when I mentioned Cabrera not running out the third strike.
Yeah.
And I said, innocently enough, I thought, until I got totally annihilated on Twitter, that he should have run it out and that Hispanic players idolize him. And I was ripped for saying Hispanic players, and I tried to defend it by saying, well, you know, Italian players could feel a little more closeness to DiMaggio. And
Where are you going with this? I don't think you're going to win wherever
you're
going.
Here's where I'm going. I'm watching the game yesterday.
I feel a car crash coming here.
And Gibby doesn't – no, they play an interview that Craig Monroe did with Gabe Kapler. I go, man, he's a Jewish manager. How many Jewish managers have there been?
How about Brad Ausmus?
There have only been seven in history. And believe it or not, and I wasn't even aware of this, Denny was not even the best baseball player in his family. His father-in-law is a Hall of Famer, Lou Boudreau, and I didn't know that Lou was half Jewish. His mother was Jewish, So he counts as a Jewish manager. He won 1,162 games, and he was just surpassed by now the greatest Jewish manager of all time, Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's, the son of a Jewish mother and a Catholic father. What?
Pardon me while I blow some smoke up Denny McClain's butt right here.
Go ahead.
You say that Boudreau was an amazing player, and he was.
Hall of Famer. I never saw him.
I was too young. I never saw. But let me tell you, if you want to compare Boudreau or anybody, I saw Denny McClain pitch his whole career. And for 3 years, that guy was as good a pitcher as anybody I ever saw. So if Denny hadn't gotten hurt, if he'd had a long career, you wouldn't be saying, well, Boudreau had a better career than you did.
Except he didn't, so I did, and that's okay. I appreciate where you're coming from.
This is one thing I've been consistent with in the Boudreau family.
That's it.
If you look up in the encyclopedia, father-in-law, his picture will be there. That's the kind of father-in-law he was.
That's
he
great.
Was just a great man.
Anyway, the only other ones, for those of you who don't care, Al Rosen, the so-called Hebrew
Hammer.
Oh, that's
right, Al Rosen.
Four All-Star games. Only MVP to be executive of the year. Norm Sherry, not much of a manager, managed a little bit.
And we had Norm for a while.
That's it. And Jeff Newman was the last. He's a backup catcher, was an interim coach. All I'm not going to list the other one because that goes back.
Who's the other one?
Well, his name was Lip Pike.
Cleveland Spiders.
No, the Troy Haymakers, the Hartford Dark Blues, and actually the Cincinnati Reds. But that was in the 1800s.
That's pretty good. Now, Eli's very proud of his Jewish heritage, and he should be. But just so you folks know, I'm mainly English. So in our next program, stay tuned as I go down a list of the great English soccer players who've ever lived.
Oh, man. Okay.
I got a lot of stuff here. Where do you want to go now?
Well, I was going to segue to football, and she got something because you're going to take a break in 3 or 4 minutes. So let's.
Well, can we spend 2 minutes on the guys that aren't probably going to be here in a couple of days?
Go ahead.
Boyd, Castellanos, and Green. I think two of the three will be gone.
Boyd's not. They're saying right now the Tigers want too much for him. I don't know about Nick.
Yeah.
And there's big headline in the New York Post Thursday morning about Shane Green coming back to the Yankees. And I tweeted that out to everybody. And I said at the same time, why not get rid of him? Because this idiotic club is never in a position to use a closer.
So Shane Green's
basically just sitting there, isn't he, with nothing to do.
Well, he's got a pretty good arm. He pitches.
He does.
He pitches versus some of the guys who are out there just throwing the ball down the middle. And
I'm a fan. I like Shane.
Yeah, he'd be a loss. He would be a loss. But I don't think they're at a point that they can make a decision based upon losing a good guy or a bad guy. I think they got to go for it. They got to find some. You've heard me use this word a lot.
They got to go for what?
They got to go for suspects who could equate to prospects eventually, because you never know when you grab a prospect. If he isn't just the suspect.
Well,
you got it?
That's their plan, is to get rid of anybody who could ever play. Do you think Castellanos knows he's going? Otherwise, would he have said this ballpark is a joke? By the way, the ballpark is a joke, but let me remind you, when it opened in 2000, we had a guy named Juan Gonzalez who said the damn fences are too far back. They pulled them in for him.
For him.
They pulled them in for him, and they're still too far back.
Yeah, but first Eli was covering that ball club at the time, and we went to Gonzalez. Juan, just take some more steroids. Then you'd be able to get the ball over the fence. You need a little more steroids. You know, Mike Fiers, the former Tiger, did not get a decision his last time out. He is 9-3 with a 3.57 for Oakland. He's 5-0 since June 1st with a whip of 1.13. Now, Avila traded him. Do you remember who they got back? We're talking about prospects here and suspects. They got back two kids, Nolan Blackwood and Logan Shore. They've been pitching at Erie. Blackwood's had a pretty good year so far. Logan Shore, not really. At least his record isn't any good. So this guy's an excellent pitcher, and he doesn't throw hard, so he could be pitching for a long time. And you got two suspects back when you could have used Fiers.
Well, the ball club in Oakland's a little bit better than we are. I mean, you could give some of
what
the credit.
What ball club isn't?
Yeah, well, you know what, but that's what I'm saying. The ball clubs have a lot to do with a pitcher winning 5 games, 9 games, 15 games, 31 games. Sure. They've got a lot to do with it, believe me.
So football begins. Lions actually opened training camp today, which is Thursday.
Oh, boy. Did you see that guy, big national headline the other day? He picked the Lions to finish dead last. They said the worst team in the NFL again.
Really? I got one better than that for a bet for you. Ready? The touts out in Las Vegas are saying the best bet on the board in Las Vegas right now is that you take the odds with Stafford and bet that he'll be the MVP this year. So how the hell can he go to be MVP this year? How could that happen?
So one guy predicts him for dead last, and the other, if he's going to pick him for MVP, must mean they're going to have a pretty good season. You know what? This is kind of the NFL. This is an interesting scenario that maybe makes one of the reasons why it's the most popular league. Worst to first and first to worst. It happens all the time. There are a bunch of there's a story today in the Times, by the way, Bob. So the 2014 Skins, 4-12. Next year, 9-7, make the playoffs with Kirk with Cousins. Cowboys, 4-12 in 15 to 13-3 in 16. So you can turn it around. And then you go the Panthers, 15-1 in 15 to 6-10 in 16. The Bears in 2017 were 5-11. Last year, 12-4.
But that seems to happen more in football than any other sport.
It does. So that's why you can have two guys say, one say Stafford will be the MVP because the Lions are going to be great under Matt Patricia this year, and somebody else saying they still suck. I just think that we think because it's the Lions, we don't give them any hope anymore of ever succeeding.
Bob, you giving them any hope?
I don't follow the FLs.
Well, then,
I follow the New York Giants and the New York Jets.
Well, then you're off the show.
You guys think I was kidding you the other day? I told you I don't think I could name four players besides the obvious Stafford on the Detroit Lions.
That's going to really help our listenership.
I gave up, and so have a lot of other native Detroiters.
Yeah, but this is a sports show. So I think you better follow the Lions. Yeah, or I'll replace your ass.
Oh, yeah. Remember, this is a democracy. Denny's got to vote to replace my ass, too. I don't think he's going to do that.
Meanwhile,
I'm with you, Eli.
The most famous football bettor in the world, the most famous gambler in the world is, of course, James Holzhauer from Jeopardy fame, who has made millions and millions as a sports gambler. And he picked a Super Bowl entrance. And he says the same as last year. He says there's no doubt that the two best teams are the Rams and the Patriots. He told that to Peter King. And he says this is so true. He goes, I'd say the big thing to avoid is to look away from the teams that have all the hype surrounding them. He says, I can't believe you live in a world where the Cleveland Browns are the most hyped team in the preseason.
Oh, it's terrible.
Good point.
Yeah,
good point.
It really is terrible.
So I want to talk about Eli's favorite team from his boyhood, and that is my beloved New York Giants.
I do love the Giants.
Do you remember, Eli, those glorious names of yesteryear that we all knew so well?
Dick Modjalewski, Y.A. Tittle.
Y.A. Tittle.
Frank Gift.
Dale Schaffner.
Sam Huff. Kyle Rote. So here comes this
Frank Gifford.
Odell Beckham Jr., and now he's in Cleveland. He's ripping the Giants every single day. He says this week, I felt disrespected because I felt like I was a main reason at keeping that brand alive. He actually said that. I just named some guys who had something to do with making that brand. The Giants won 3 Super Bowls without him and went to a couple more. This guy is insane.
Well, I think
we know he sure is a hell of a player.
Keeping the brand alive. I mean, the brand's going to
keep it. New York Giants.
Even the Tigers brand is alive, even though they're doing everything they can to kill it right now. So the brand doesn't die.
You know, I'm a big fan of Eli
Manning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really like that kid.
He's only won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah,
that's all.
48.
Just 2. And he only passed for 4,000 yards last year, but it's New York, so they can hate
so
you.
They rip him. They rip him.
Wait a second. Okay, here you see, Fellauer doesn't want to talk. He wants to make gestures. What's the gesture mean over there?
I think he is no more special than any of the other middling NFL quarterbacks.
Eli?
Yes.
All right, shut up. That's enough. We don't want that's it. Yeah, what do you know? You're a board operator. You just sit there, and when I want you to speak, you speak. Do you understand?
I gave him the floor.
Where the hell is Brandon?
My point has been made.
Hey, Mark, I got an idea. Why don't we lose these two Yahoos and have our own show? Because I agree with you, and I've covered the Giants for many years and watched the Giants. Eli Manning's claim to fame, and it's a big claim to fame, 2 Super Bowl rings.
And
that's going to put him in Canton, and I don't think – as Mark says, he's much more than – he's a little more than an average quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback.
It's called a winner. He's a winner.
Yeah,
his defensive line beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl. period. It wasn't because he was so great.
An amazing catch, the Tyree, whatever his name was, catch was
amazing
just
amazing catches. Yeah. Mario Manningham out of Michigan one too. That's right. Yeah.
You know, you could have put could have had Johnny Football back there, and he'd been throwing another interception.
All right. Well, after the break, either you and I are going to do the show alone, Denny, or those two are going to do the show alone without us. But in any case, I want to remind you that Hoot McInerney's Starlink features a pair of groundbreaking SUVs impacting the 2019 automobile marketplace. Terrific. I got the Nautilus, a groundbreaking crossover, incredible safety and comfort features. Great car, my first SUV, and it's terrific. This is just this July. The Aviator is out, dual suspension, midsize SUV, 3-row, 7-passenger seating, must-see styling, just a beautiful, beautiful car. You should check it out. The technology in all these vehicles is amazing. Amid it all, you got the Revel audio system that customizes listening with multiple settings. It's very cool. At Star, and by the way, I've been friends with that family for a long time. I believe in them, and I do pay for my car, by the way. Maybe the biggest comfort you have there is Star's effortless ownership experience. Order Nautilus or any Lincoln online at starlincoln.com. Just roll in the Star and pick it up. Whether it's Jimmy McInerney, his son Ryan, Tim Carey, the sales manager, good guys, luxury cars, legendary dealership. Check out Hoot McInerney's Star Lincoln, where you get the Star treatment that's never been better. At 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And lastly, Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth Management. You know, most people spend just too little time in their investments. Luke Nowacki, called him at 248-663-4748. He is a wealth manager to beat them all. We support him here at the Red Shovel Network. He supports us. He'll create a plan for you to answer your financial questions, help you reach all your financial goals. It's a complimentary consultation. Who knows, retirement may be fast approaching. You just can't do it alone. Get Luke to help you. Be prepared for those terrible things that can potentially happen when life happens. He's a Red Shuffle sponsor. Like I say, he stands behind you. We stand behind him. Check out Luke at 248-663-4748. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and our marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. And you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. What's all the
gesture? Well, you were so intent on reading those commercials, and you did another fine job. Denny was very busy playing pantomime games while you were reading your commercials.
What are you doing?
I was trying to get his attention.
Signaling me. What do you want?
What do you want?
Well, I wrote on the back, the mail.
I can't see that. Oh, you want me to go to the mailbag?
The mail. Yeah. He knows that. He knows what we're doing.
No, he doesn't. He was sitting there playing with his pud.
Jeez. Okay, here we go. All right, fellas. So you want to do a little more football? I got one for you.
No, mailbag. Mailbag.
We'll do mailbag first?
Mailbag, yes. All right.
And then we'll come back and do Luan.
Our first letter comes today from Leslie in Fort Lee, New Jersey, right across the way. The Rangers signed ex-Michigan star defenseman Jacob Trouba. Okay. 7 years, $8 million, one of the top young defensemen in the National Hockey League. But he's not going to win because little Jimmy Dolan owns the Rangers, and he's destroyed the entire franchise. So Leslie says, I hope the Rangers suck, Bob. I hate Dolan so much that I'm even done as a Knicks fan, but not Spike Lee. So that's what's been – it's not just Detroit that's suffering this misery. It's going on a lot of places.
Bobby Booby, do you like anything in New York?
Pardon me?
Do you like anything in New York?
No, he calls it a cesspool. It's a cesspool.
He rips the Giants. He rips the Yankees.
He said he loves the Giants.
He rips the Jets. I forget who else you got there, but you rip everybody.
And I love the Detroit Tigers. It's my team. I rip them to shreds. You know why? Because they deserve it. We only tell it like it is.
Okay. Mailbag.
So you hate everything in New York.
Just let him go. Go ahead.
This is from, I don't see a name on this. This is the best sports show in town. I was wondering if Bob ever thought to quit his day job to do impersonations in Vegas. From his Ike Brown to British accent, they are second to none. That's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Well, he read that one.
We have a freelance. Now, here's one for Denny. I love when these things are addressed to Denny. I just love it. I love to get his responses. Here's a freelance writer named Brian Marshall. He lives in Port Huron, Michigan, and he's very close to Jim Gosger, former Major League outfielder.
Jimmy's a good guy. Yeah. Good guy.
Now, Gosger is from there, and he lived there. He still lives up there.
Right.
So he says that Gosger told him – he's actually doing a book about Jim Gosger. I'm not sure how that's going to sell, but he's doing a book. He said that Gosger only hit 30 career home runs – but two of them came against Denny McClain in the same day. It was June of 66. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, let me tell you why.
There's certain guys that I like to keep in the big leagues because in a real tight situation, I could get them out easily. So I let Jim hit a couple of home runs one day.
That's your response
That's
to that.
That's it. Yeah. And Jim knows it. Jim would let everybody know, I'm sure.
Another guy you let hit a home run one time? Yes. I think there was. He played for the Yankees.
His cousin, Mickey Mantle.
Yes, yeah, something like that, right. So we love our young listeners. Fellas, from Matt Burns, my roommate and I are two 22-year-olds living in Detroit who are big fans of the show. I was trying to get some sleep Monday night when I heard some loud noises outside of our apartment. I ducked my head out the door to see what was going on, and I was surprised to see a fireworks display at Comerica on a Tigers off day. Do you guys think they might be able to allocate that money they spent somewhere a little more beneficial?
That was from Matt Burns.
You got something, Eli? I'll keep going.
Does anybody say anything nice about me here? I'm trying to find
That's what he's looking for.
That's all he ever looks for.
All right, so here's David Jones. I just started listening to No Filter Sports a few weeks ago, and now I'm upset that it took me this long to give it a chance. I'm not a fan of sports talk, but after listening to this, it would be more accurate to say I can't stand sports talk radio. 1 hour twice a week is so, so much better than 4 or 5 days a week for 4 hours. Bob, Denny, and Eli are great. They look past the BS associated with so many sports stories, and the shorter format lets you guys pick and choose what stories you want to have to cover, what you want to cover, rather than having to talk about all of them. He's a great listener. He loves the Red Shovel Network, Drew's network, and it's just his nice work. Very, very nice.
That's very nice.
Eli and I have both done a whole bunch of long-form sports talk radio, and when you're on the air for 4 hours, you're coming on, obviously you lead with the big story of the day, but you know, you can't just say, well, we did that story at 2 o'clock. When do you do the story again for what presumably is a new listening audience?
You know what? I battled
listen to all 4 hours.
I battled that a long time, and it's very hard to do the same story again. I remember when I was working in New York in 86 when WFAN, which Detroit later, 10 years later, called DFN, but the original was FAN, and it was a joke. People said, 24 hours a day? How can you possibly talk about sports for 24 hours a day? I will say, even though I agree with the caller, a lot of it gets very boring and repetitious because there aren't that many great topics that are compelling. I am constantly amazed at how people can talk and talk and talk and talk, even if there isn't a lot going on. The fact there's pretty incredible skill levels to keep going on hour after hour when there really isn't a lot to talk about.
I think the guys that have been successful at that have when they don't have a big day, and we know, I think, in the news business anyway, gigantically, when one story hits one day, 14 stories will hit the same day, and then you got to figure out which ones you're going to run. But in the world of sports, when they all happen at the same time, you got even a bigger problem because, first of all, the sports is entertainment.
Not every story is can you turn it into entertainment. And you're
absolutely
worried about tuna.
Absolutely.
Back on football for a second.
Back on the mailbag.
More in the bag.
You're the one who wanted me to do it.
Papa's got a big bag today. Go ahead.
Papa's got a big bag.
We always have a big. We're getting so much response from so many people, and I apologize again, folks, if
that's
they don't
very
get
nice.
Hold on. Bruce M. is back from the previous show. It's capital letters. You read my tweet on the mailbag. It made my day. And for the record, Eli Zarrett is more than just okay. Bruce, be a man. Stand up. You said Denny and I were great and Eli was just okay. Own
what?
It, buddy. We're getting all kinds of ratings and comments on so many different sites that I didn't even know about, not to mention iTunes. So everybody seems to like Eli. I've heard almost no negative stuff
at
all.
Nice.
A couple people don't like Denny. A couple people don't like me. And one guy of obviously lowbrow taste and low IQ hates me and wants me off the show right now.
What does he say?
But what really struck me was one guy writes into, I think it was iTunes, and he says he hates our podcast and gives it 1 star out of 5 because we have the most biased talk show ever against Michigan State.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy is drinking.
I went to Michigan State. Eli has 2 daughters who went to Michigan State. Denny's been a longtime Michigan State fan.
Not only that, one of my grandkids went to Michigan State.
Yeah. And like I say, I would have gone there too, but my board scores were too high. So I love state too.
Todd Moore says, keep it up, guys. I rarely watch sports anymore, but I download you guys every Monday and Thursday afternoon. I'm not going to go on with this stuff. I have a lot of stuff here. But, folks, we just really appreciate your comments.
We really
For those
do.
Of you who don't like any one of us, oh, well, now let's go on.
Now, but, and I will say, because Drew pointed out to us how I wasn't even aware you could find these reviews on iTunes. There's 300 or 400 reviews, and we have a 5 overall. There's a sprinkling of ones. There are 0, 2, 3, and 4. You either love us or you revile us. Fortunately, some of the people who revile us still listen, which is what it's all about anyway.
Now, let's talk about Luan, huh?
Let's talk about Luan. I want to first do – can I first do
– yeah, whatever you want to do.
I want to do Adrian Peterson first.
Because you can tell, and Mark Fellauer sitting in today has never done this before, can tell how utterly, totally organized we are at all times.
Remember this, buddy. That's the buddy. Beauty of it.
Are we more disorganized than the Drew and Mike show?
Yes, the usual today.
I always call it organized chaos.
It is organized chaos.
It is.
So what do you got, Eli?
In fact, Denny's got so many notes. We said you have so many notes, you have no notes because you can't find anything in there anyway. So he comes in with piles of material and never looks at it.
And but the best part is I've got everything highlighted.
the most unsurprising story that came out this week, actually yesterday, we're doing the show on Thursday again, is that Adrian Peterson, who earned $100 million in football, is broke. And the reason it's not surprising is because we've been there before. Pablo Torre, back in Sports Illustrated in 2009, wrote this step-by-step guide to how to lose millions of dollars without breaking a sweat. That was followed up by the show called Broke on 30 for 30 that revealed that 60% of former NBA players are broke within 5 years of retirement.
I don't buy
that. And that 78% of former NFL players have gone bankrupt or under financial stress.
How many?
78%. I'm going to tell you why I believe it. I'm going to explain why it happens.
Do you know the money they make?
Okay, you're 22 years old. You graduate, or you leave college, and you become an NFL player.
I'm glad you said that.
You leave college, right?
But you don't graduate.
Pardon me. That was definitely a slip of the tongue. So you make $20 million in your 5 years in the league, and by the time you're 27, because that's the length.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've made $20 million. The government takes $5 million. So that's $15 million.
Right.
Even if you manage to live on $1 million a year, and most guys don't, that's $10 million left at age 27. In 10 years, if you don't change your lifestyle and make no dumb investments, you're still broke. So the point is, they make dumb investments, they got a lot of hangers-on, and the fact that you can make $20 or $30 million is no guarantee, unless you guard your money carefully, that you're not going to go broke. That's why this is not a surprising statistic, because throw a bunch of money at a 21-year-old, including me, or you,
yep.
and Peterson claims that he was given bad advice or that the money was basically stolen from him. It happened to you.
It happened to me.
You made a fraction as much, but you were making enough to live on. Your wife, tell the story. You're in
Vietnam?
I
was in Vietnam. I was doing a USO show, and they had taken me away from the Bob Hope people and sent us out to fire bases. And we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you just can't see anything but palm trees and people running all
palm
over
trees.
The damn place. And lo and behold, the warrant officer, kid who was from Warren, Michigan, by the way, he come running out with a portable phone, you know, a military
okay.
phone.
Okay.
And he says, hey, it's your wife. I said, what? My wife? My wife's back in Michigan. What are you? Because I thought the guy was a kidder anyway. And he says, no, she's on the phone. She's crying. I said, crying for what? He said, I don't know. So I quick grabbed the phone. I said, what's going on? She said, you know that our house is 11 payments behind on the mortgage? I said, what? I said, what about the guy that's handling all this? She says, I can't find him.
Mm.
So it happened to me.
It's happened to Sergey Fedorov.
And his money are soon parted. Well, Aesop's fables. Denny, I love it when you occasionally become a shameless name dropper. So I must ask you, did you work with Bob Hope on those USO shows? Did you know Bob Hope?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us about him. What kind of guy was he?
What can I say? I got to be careful with this one.
That kind of man.
Yeah. All right.
Was he womanizing even back then?
Bob loved the ladies, big time. I mean, big time.
What,
big
and the
time.
Three of us don't?
Well, it's not necessarily. Well,
depends what you, we all love them. It depends what you do about it.
It's how you
it?
Surround yes. yourself with them at an appropriate time, especially with your wife standing in the stage. the thing with Bob, delightful guy, and when you're doing a show with Bob, but we did two shows, one here in Detroit and one in L.A., and I will tell you this, he goes first class with everything he does, and the other guy that was with us in the show in Detroit was Gibson. We had a play with Gibson, with our group,
uh-huh.
and Bob Was a guitar player, allegedly, because...
Gibson or Hope?
Bob. Bob.
They're both
Gibson.
You mean Kirk, yeah, you mean Kirk Gibson or Bob Gibson?
Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson. And Bob started playing something, and all we told him was, just tell us the key and we'll follow you. And he says, oh, okay. I said, because do you know a song of any kind? He says, no, but I know three or four chords. He knew three or four chords and three or four different keys, and we had to follow him for about 16 or 18 bars. Was I glad to get that over with? And
You only knew three or four chords on the organ. You made a lot of money playing anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Anyway,
I want a copy of your album, by the way.
I have several albums, Bob.
At this point, we have to say goodbye to our radio listeners on WDFN and on WCWA. Of course, the podcast continues, but we want to thank you for joining us. You have been listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay, back to business.
You got into a good subject here a couple minutes ago with these guys losing their money and so on and so forth. So I don't know what Jalen Ramsey's thinking of. Do you guys know who that is? Because I sure didn't until 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen Ramsey is a defensive back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He wants a raise this year. So he showed up at training camp on Wednesday in an armored bank.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah.
The Jaguars don't want to give him a contract extension. And so Ramsey was joking on social media. He's going to quote, I'm going to ask for so much money, they have to put me on layaway. Now, this guy made $13 million. He's set to make $13 million in 2020. I mean, they can use a franchise tag on him in 2021 and keep him up, pay him a lot more than that. I mean, it's amazing. No matter how much money you give these guys, so many of them are still unhappy. And he's one of these guys. He gonna blow it too.
Well, he'll, you want to hear stupid? You want to hear a definition of stupid? They're talking in a spirited way, I was told, in Cooperstown last week with some of the people in the front office of Major League Baseball. They really believe the players are going to walk out, making an average of $5.2 million a year. They think the players are going to walk out.
The problem they're having with the players are having is the same in football. Now, why is Ezekiel Elliott talking about holding out from the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Point is, when you're a first-round draft pick in the NFL, they own you for 5 years.
Right.
After 3 or 4 years, they got to tell you if they want to keep you for the fifth year. So he will have made about $24 million over the 5 years. But running backs quickly.
Don't last, yeah.
They don't last, and you know and so he's saying, you know, this salary scale doesn't work for me, and I kind of agree with him. If you're the best running back, one of the top two or three in the league, and the great players are making 15, 20 million, and you might be ruined by the times 5 years is up, I kind of get it.
Hasn't this guy had some domestic issues?
Yeah, but they all do. This is what we're talking about playing.
Shouldn't he thank the NFL for letting him back in?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey, by the way, closed with a quote, and I do quote.
Yes.
You don't know what time it is. A man so good they're fixing to give him his own jail. Jalen Towers. Because these receivers are on 24-hour lockdown when I'm playing. He got 8 master locks in his pocket. They're on lockdown all season. The man, the myth, Jalen Ramsey.
And I can see Reverend L walking in here one day.
Yeah, I'd be careful with some of your accents there. But anyway, same with Melvin Gordon.
I just repeat the way people speak, that's all.
L.A. running back Melvin Gordon tells the Chargers he's going to hold out unless he gets a new contract. He's another guy stuck on a rookie salary scale. And that's the deal in baseball. The deal in baseball is that when you you don't get paid when you're young. You're supposed to make it on the back end.
Right.
And now they've gotten so sophisticated in player development, in recognizing talent, in using analytics, et cetera, to grow the talent, that there's many, many more players available. A lot of them play less, but they're more available, and so therefore they don't need the veterans anymore. And that's what they want to change. They want to get paid when they're performing, not hoping that they get paid at the back end the way Cabrera and Zimmerman and these
guys. What I don't understand? How they can give a 15- or 16-year-old $20 million and guys have to argue trying to get another $1 million in their salary every year, baseball, football, basketball, but they give a 16-year-old $20 million, right?
What are you talking about?
Just a couple of weeks ago, they gave a kid $20 million.
That's not unusual. Bonuses, sure. Absolutely.
$20 million. 16 years old. Excuse me.
Who was that? Who's 16 right. years old and got the money?
I'll get the information for you Monday. Yeah, no, we did it. We did it here on the show.
What sport?
Well, you're losing it.
I think it's baseball, one of the young
Latino players. Okay,
so it was a shortstop. It was a shortstop. That's exactly
that sounds
right.
Awfully
so
young.
Think about this.
16.
About
okay,
let's say, Denny just said that the average Major League Baseball salary is now $5.2 million. Let's say that any of us were just given a check for $5.2 million at any point in our lives. Well, you might have to pay 10% to your agent or whatever. Then you got to pay Uncle Sam. But you're still left with about $3 million cash when that's done with, all
sure.
right? Now, why don't you take $500,000 of that
Bob,
and buy
yourself
about
really it. You're talking
nice
like a grown-up.
You could live on the interest the rest of
you're
your
talking
life.
You're talking like a grown-up,
right?
Okay?
You're talking like an adult.
You're talking about somebody who's
right.
been burned and sees this. When you're 21, you don't think that way. Look, nobody saw what I saw in 2008 and 9. And that was Allen Iverson made $21.6 million and had zero left after the season. He went down to the casino and he blew it every night. He couldn't pay his child support payments. He made $21 million. So, of course, you think, well, let's see. It's the last year of my contract. I'm not as good as I used to be. I'm overweight. I'm in bad shape. I can't get to the basket anymore.
Oh, and I'm an alcoholic,
maybe,
too.
I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a gambling addict. So maybe if I take this $21 million, let's give Uncle Sam, maybe I'll get $13 left. Okay, let me suffer and live on just $1 million this year. Then I'll have $12 million left over. The interest at even 5% a year is six. So there's plenty of money there. But that's rational adult
everybody
thinking.
Should take a
yes.
lesson
okay?
from listen okay? everybody should take a lesson from Bobby Bonilla. He did it the smartest
that's
way
right.
I've ever
that's
seen
right.
in my life. He's taken $1 million or $2 million a year for the rest of his life.
He gets a check for $1 million once a year from the New York
and
Mets,
actually,
and that's not for the rest of his
yeah.
life, I don't think, but it's for
I,
a number
Iverson
of years
will get
ago.
Money when he's 55, I think, from some yeah. and one deal that's left over, but he's gonna have to struggle till then.
Luan, huh?
Taylor Lewan. Okay, so as football comes, you've got the holdouts, you've got the predictions, and you've also got the guys being suspended. He is the highest paid offensive lineman, and there was the B sample is not back, and he passed a polygraph, but there is some substance in him, and so he did a kind of a preventive Instagram post.
Mea culpa, mea yeah, culpa,
where
mea
he,
culpa.
Where he took responsibility and also wound up breaking down in tears afterwards.
I'm completely responsible for the things that are in my body, whether the supplement I'm taking has it on the label or not. I want everybody to know that I've never taken the supplement knowingly, and I've never cheated the game, and I never will.
In a short amount of time, he starts... he breaks down a little bit. He apologizes. So
I have two questions.
What?
Was this the first time he ever used this supplement, or was this the first time he got caught?
What do you think?
I think
what
right.
do you think?
I'll take your bippy.
I'll take B. I'll take B on that
I
one.
I will too.
But you know, this whole it's in the Tour de France now.
Yep.
It's in swimming.
No, that wasn't the Tour de France.
Well, okay, but it's still there. There's some swimmer. You know, it goes on and on and on. And I wonder. Listen, this has been going on. This has been going on since the early 60s and late 50s when these Chinese swimmers would show up at the Olympics, these women with big shoulders, rippling muscles, and they outraced everybody. And so we haven't solved it in the last 60 years or 60 years. So how are we going to solve it? Do you think someday we'll look back at this era in sports? We'll look back at this era in sports and we'll laugh at it. Or we'll say, oh, that's before they figured out how to prevent this. Yes.
I know how to solve it.
It's a good
it.
Question. That's an excellent question.
And here's the solution.
But you know what reminds me of, Eli? It reminds me of people, and this is dumbfounding to me, people who actually smoke cigarettes. Now, you know when you're paying whatever you pay for a pack of cigarettes, that odds are that these things are going to kill you. And the death is going to be very painful unless you're lucky enough just to drop dead of a heart attack, which so many smokers do. When you're taking roids as an athlete, you know what happened to Lyle Alzado.
Yep.
You know what happens to these guys. You know what the effects of steroids are. Why are you doing it?
Well, actually,
why?
Well,
you're going to be dead. You're going to die an early and painful death.
I think they've moved past steroids to other performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah,
I don't
do too.
Kill you. But
yeah.
Mark, go ahead.
The easiest solution is to let them take it. Personal responsibility. Let
Mark,
them take it because
Mark,
you're always going to be chasing
Mark,
the new drug that gets made
Mark,
and then the new one. Let them take them.
Mark,
what?
You didn't ask permission.
I recognized him. He raised his hand even.
So Mark, you're okay with McGuire and Bonds going into the Hall of Fame and erasing every record for home runs ever hit.
Yeah, and Mark, what about
that? Yeah, but you know why? Because we all know the reason behind it, and I was highly entertained by those athletes, and it's entertainment. They're going to pay their own personal consequence.
So, but the, I don't disagree with you, except for the fact
what
that if I don't want to abuse my body, then I might as well not be a player because I can't keep up with them. That's the problem.
I agree with
what
that.
What are they paying? They've made hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. What are they paying?
They're paying with shortened lifespan is what they're paying.
Okay.
Ask Ken Caminiti.
Just what I said.
And I'll give I'll give you an example of a shortened life. My dad smoked 3 to 4 packs a day. Mm-hmm. Had a heart attack at 36. That was it.
Hey, there you go. Yep.
There you go.
And these people taking roids in sports, same thing. You're going to die. Yep. You could be you die at 50 or 55. Yeah, but, they say among men, your testicles shrink away to almost nothing.
But when you're playing,
what are you doing this for?
But the point is that when you're playing and you're starring, the guys that don't take the steroids, their careers are ruined. You may die young, but
that's not true. We discussed that. There are plenty of great players who are going to the Hall of Fame out there in every sport right now who are not using
roids.
You're
darn right. I really think you'd find, too, if you want to take them, if it was legal, you're taking them right now anyway. Kind of like general population. If you want to smoke marijuana,
listen, the players,
illegal or not, is not going to stop you.
Players, along with medical professionals, have learned how to stay ahead of MLB and the NFL and everybody else.
Sure.
They're staying.
Let's just allow it.
That's what Victor Conti said last week.
When they continue to hit home runs to right center from the right side of the plate, left side of the plate, and the ball's going out of the park, the opposite field, there's something going on, and it's not the damn baseball.
No doubt. No doubt.
How much time we got left?
As much time as we want.
Well, right,
it's a podcast. We go over.
Right, we're not going to get yanked out of here by another show or anything, so we can go. I like to keep it to an hour so that less is more.
Well,
but anyway.
Can I talk to you about superstition?
We get people writing us all the time, why don't you do more? It needs to be longer.
We got to talk about Zion Williamson, too.
Okay, do Zion first.
Okay.
And I'll close with this.
Okay. Anyway, so we're guessing it's about $15 million a year to wear a shoe, the highest shoe contract of all time with Nike, with the Jordan brand. And I guess the point is that when his shoe exploded on the court when he was playing and it was a Nike shoe, if they hadn't signed him and he'd gone with any other company, they would have destroyed Nike by saying, you see, his shoe exploded. It's a crappy shoe. That's why he came with us, either Adidas or Puma, whatever. So they had to get him. They had no choice. And they wooed him long before the draft even. And sure enough, he signs. And, of course, he says, since I was a kid, I dreamed of making it to the league and having the type of impact on the game Michael Jordan had. Multiple competitor brands had offered the rookie sensation more than $10 million annually. So he probably went up to $15 million and I think $10 million up front. So Zion Williamson, and once you sign the contract, you don't have to do anything to earn the money. Just wear the damn shoe. You're going to wear a shoe anyway.
Can you imagine?
Okay, there can't be easier money to be made anywhere in the world.
Unless you're doing this show.
Except for the little social effect, the social cause. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Like virtually, like mainly black kids in central cities across this country are literally killing each other, shooting each other to take their $300 or $400 pair of gym shoes off them. I hate that. I don't understand it. But that's what's been going on. Been going on for a long time. While guys like Zion Williamson are laughing all the way to the bank.
Now, do you hate that more than the slave labor that produces the shoes over in Thailand, or is it the fact that they're expensive?
Which one bothers you more? Because young people are being killed. They're losing their lives over these shoes. And it's a disgrace. It's a national disgrace. Mm.
60
well,
okay.
On that note.
Well, all right, wait
Bob,
a minute.
Now, we talked about
Eli's favorite sport on the show last time. And that, of course, would be boxing.
Yes.
Something that doesn't interest me. We have a junior welterweight named Maxim Dadashev of Russia. He died Tuesday morning. From brain injuries he suffered during an 11th round knockout to somebody named Subriel Matias on Friday in Maryland. Just 28 years old. And the quote from trainer Buddy McGirt, he said to ESPN, it just makes you realize what type of sport we're in, man. Is this a sport where two human beings are put in a cordoned off area deliberately attempting to inflict brain concussions on each other?
I have a hard time. And as we talked in the last show, I recorded this UFC Greatest Bouts. And the first one I saw the other night was just stunning. So last night I turned a different one on. Dan Henderson versus Shogun Hua. I don't know when this came from.
Is this the MMA?
MMA. Yeah. They just, between kicking each other in the head, between breaking each other's faces open, between knees to the jaw, to the shin, it's just brutal. And while it's going on, you got Joe Rogan. Oh, by the way, Joe Rogan has the most popular podcast in America, like 10 million listeners. These two guys, him and Mike Goldberg, who used to work in Detroit doing the Red Wings, are saying, what a fight! Great fight! As they're just causing concussion after concussion, destroying their bodies.
That's the idea.
You can see the dementia that's going to come from it, and oh, they're gushing. Just an amazing event.
Do you know what MMA stands for? Murders, mixed, massacres, axe killers.
There were two people above all else in the Detroit media who really made Tommy Hearns and Emmanuel Steward. You're sitting next to one of them, Eli Zarrett, and you're talking to another one here in New York. That would be me. We covered Tommy from day one. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Tommy looks great.
Tommy looks good.
I had dinner with him about 3-4 weeks ago. He looks great. He's fine. He's fine. He's 100% fine. Yes, he's fine. I'm telling you.
Right.
I was with him. I was really impressed at how sharp he was.
I'm happy to hear that, because I like Tommy.
He's a good man, boy.
Yeah.
Loved Emmanuel, and all those guys. They're a bunch of good guys.
So,
did you guys see the Athletic is reporting on Thursday morning as we taped the show that the NBA network itself and TNT have gotten together and they have quashed players only. No more players only broadcasts in the NBA next year. Bravo. Job well done. I hated those players only broadcasts.
Oh, you
need a professional
broadcast.
What
are you talking about, Bob?
Yeah.
You don't watch the NBA. They have certain games, NBA games every week, where it's only players doing the game.
Yeah.
A former NBA star does play by play. He's working with two other former NBA stars. They go back to the studio and it's all former NBA stars and the woman who is actually very, very good, Candace Parker, on those shows. I didn't like them. I just didn't like them because you need a professional play by play guy to at least tell me what's happening in the game.
Right.
It was amateur hour, and a lot of these guys are challenged with the English language. I didn't like it, and I'm glad somebody else didn't like it too, and now it's done.
Speaking of that, Fox Sports Detroit tried that with Gibby and Jack and Dan Petrie and Craig Monroe. And
Doesn't work.
No.
They got rid of that fast.
And I tell you, it's so sad what's happening with the Tigers, not to reboot.
Well, let me say
story.
Don't go on. Hang on a minute, because I don't want you to go where you're going to go. The nice thing about working with him, and I haven't worked with you much, but with Eli was, and we've been on the air together a long time, is that he knows how to manage the show. I mean, he's always there. He's always on time. He always does his thing. He's always got an idea.
Professionalism.
Well, thank you, Bob. And the bottom line simply is, I mean, we worked together a long time, and it's just nice. You need somebody to
manage. Eli, my sympathies.
You need somebody to manage the show. Listen, we've always made significant money together.
Anyway,
we're an old couple.
It seems that the Tigers, as this season just devolves into maybe the worst of all time, is they're really making about the 84 Tigers. It's always Jack in 84. They're always showing stuff from 84. They're talking about what happened in 84, and it's kind of sad that it's come down to that. But they still you're right.
Now, can I do the last one?
What's the last story? Go ahead.
All right.
I got a story, too. We don't have to get in. Are you guys taking medicine or something?
No, we're 6 minutes.
Once an appointment or something? We ain't got to leave yet.
Yeah.
Mark says he got nothing to do but sit here.
I got to go. Wee-wee.
Thanks for that.
Has anybody noticed anything going on in some dugouts around Major League Baseball?
What do you mean by that?
Baseball players are a little superstitious.
Besides the chewing and spitting?
Besides the chewing and spitting, there is something going on in the ballparks right now that players are now cutting their mustaches off in the middle of the game. Three guys have already started. Pugh is the first one.
Yeah, Pugh.
Danny Jansen is the other one.
Yeah.
And Claybar Torres are the three guys that have cut off their mustaches and beards during the game.
For what reason?
Because they're not hitting well.
Superstitions.
Yeah. Superstitions. Can you believe this? Huh? I mean, the next thing, one of the other players, and I can't remember his name, was eating hot dogs to help him hit the ball. Oh, sounds like Gates Brown.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, boy, the next player is going to be wanting shrimp and baked potato.
That's among the uneducated. And that would have to include George Anderson. I couldn't believe it. Every time he made a pitching change, Sparky would come out and stop right before the chalk third baseline.
Carefully step over
so
part
he didn't
of his
touch
shtick.
The chalk line.
And you know what Jack Morris did? If Sparky was looking at him when he left the mound, he would stomp on the third baseline because Jack always said he felt that superstitions hold guys back. And I agree with him. So
I never stepped in a foul line.
One more thing here.
What
do you guys got?
I just want to finish with the dugout.
Yeah.
Everybody should get one time to walk into a major league dugout after a game and see what it looks like.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Where it starts out perfectly clean, and at the end of the game, First of all, the floor is covered with sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds.
The brown spots from the tobacco spitting.
Right.
It's just, it's so disgusting.
And then you got
cups,
the coffee.
Unused bubble gum.
Broken bat racks.
Right. But then you've got coffee with the sunflower seeds. I mean, they're spitting in the cup, and then they're pouring coffee in the bottom of the cup.
Well, like it was better when you played? The dugouts were clean when you guys were finished playing?
No. I didn't eat any of that garbage. I hated that stuff. Now listen, you won't believe this. I've never had a cigarette in my life.
I believe
ever.
It. Daddy does not like drugs.
That's good.
I don't know what's wrong
with
him.
That's why you're
like
still
drugs.
With us at age. Well, I won't give your age away on the air.
What else?
Common
go ahead.
So.
I'm going to kill him.
So, what
else
you got?
Can I have permission?
Who had the last story? You had the last story. Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I got one more thing here among my notes. And as we talked a lot about Jimmy Harbaugh on the previous show this week. And one quote we didn't get to that hasn't really been, you know, publicized that much is this guy says he is actually going to play two quarterbacks this year.
No.
He's going to play Shea Patterson and Dylan McCaffrey in the same games. And you know what they say about football? It's one of the great truisms.
If you
when
you've
got two quarterbacks
you
in
none.
Football, you got no quarterback.
Pardon me for stealing that.
Did he say where he was going to play McCaffrey at?
No. They're both going to play quarterback. I don't know if he's going to shuttle them in maybe one quarter. And you assume once they get rid of somehow mighty Middle Tennessee State to open the season and mighty Army coming to Ann Arbor after that, maybe he'll settle in. But the problem Harbaugh has, I kind of understand this. You know, Dylan McCaffrey is one of the top recruits in America from that great football family.
Yes.
You know, Ed McCaffrey was a terrific
Christian,
wide receiver for the Giants. You start recruiting these kids and you bring them to Michigan or Ohio State or whatever you want to talk about, and they don't play, the high school coaches hate you, the parents hate you, family hates you, and you get a bad rep, and you might have problems getting more players from these programs.
I'm
so
not
maybe
big,
that's what Jimmy's
I'm not a
thinking.
Big believer in Shea Patterson. I believe he's limited. He's not,
I like him.
I like him, but I don't love him. And I think what this quote means is that early in the season against the Middle Tennessee, he's going to play both guys. I mean, he's got to give Dylan McCaffrey a chance.
Got to give everybody a chance. You're right.
I take it totally differently. I believe he has a package, as we saw last year, set up for Dylan McCaffrey to run certain type of plays, be it a wildcat type offense.
And he's got Josh Gattis.
Shea can do it. Yeah, Shea can do it as well. But I think there's a special package of plays specifically for Dylan.
And if there's any sleeping giant in the Big Ten, because they can't beat anybody with a better than 500 record, meaning Michigan, this new offensive coordinator is going to make a big difference. I think Michigan's going to win the Big Ten this year.
And the last question of the day, does anybody know what Jason Giambi wore when he was in a hitting slump?
Yes.
Anybody know?
Do we want to know? Do we
want
to
speak? I know.
Denny,
go ahead, say it.
Go ahead.
You wore a thong.
A golden thong.
Oh, my.
Could you imagine?
Mark, how do you know that, buddy? Did you see it in a certain publication you
that
may have been
sounds utterly uncomfortable.
How would you know something
some
like that? So, Eli, you made an interesting comment about you being kind of lukewarm about Shea Patterson. So I'm going to give this question to you and to Denny and to Mark Fellauer, who's so kind to sit in with us for Brandon today. You say you're lukewarm about Shea. I'm going to give you one quarterback to go into this season with. You can either have Shea Patterson or you can have Brian Lewerke. Which one?
Oh, Shea Patterson all day. Brian Lewerke can't throw. Brian Lewerke couldn't hit the wall in this room.
I take Tom Brady.
That was not an option. Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry. I take Shea.
Mark?
Without a doubt, Shea. I take McCaffrey.
Of course. Yeah. Why?
I disagree with you a little bit about Brian Lewerke. He can throw. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic. He can run. But just with that kid, it's just like the light hasn't entirely gone on yet. He has so much potential. He really could be good. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'd take Shea Patterson over Lewerke right now.
He's a gutty runner. Reminds me of who's the running quarterback who played for the Lions? They're just so good.
Mike McMahon?
The Sparty.
Jim Nanowski.
No. Drew Stanton.
Bobby Lane.
Drew Stanton was the toughest guy, the toughest quarterback I've ever seen in the Big
and
Ten.
And could not hit a curveball or a slider or a changeup or nothing else.
Well, you're talking about Drew Henson, but whatever. Yeah. Okay.
I think we've had enough now, don't you?
I got to go to the bathroom.
The classic misidentification. Hey, we'll see you again on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. This has been the No Filter Sports Podcast. See you next time.